This is the cleaning fee, the short-term rental booking that looks harmless until it wrecks your weekend, told from the host's chair so you can stop the next one sooner. Tonight, a booking that looked perfect. Two guests, five-star history, a polite note about a quiet weekend away. By Saturday night, 40 people were in the backyard, and a neighbor was filming it for the city. But here's the part that matters. The party wasn't the failure, the screening was. So before the long story, take the one thing that would have stopped it. Any booking that comes in way under what the place sleeps, two guests for a house that holds 8, isn't a discount. It's a fact pattern. The most reliable party signal there is, days before anyone calls a neighbor. So it gets one follow-up before you approve who's actually staying and why a house this size. Now, how it actually went. The request came in on a Tuesday. 3-bedroom house, sleeps 8. The guests, let's call them the quiet couple, say 2 people, a relaxing weekend. Nice profile, friendly tone, nothing you'd catch at a glance. That's the trap. Everything that made it look safe was at the surface. He approved it in 9 seconds, between meetings. We've all done it. Friday, check-in's fine. Saturday afternoon, the cars start. Not 2, 12, then more. By 8, there's a sound system in the backyard and 40 people who clearly did not book the place for a quiet weekend. The host doesn't know any of this, so he finds out the way every host finds out. A neighbor's text at 11 p.m. that just says, "Is this your rental?" At the exact moment when every option is uglier and more expensive. By the time he can act, it's done. The broken fence, the deck burns, and a pool cleanup that killed the next turnover. Then the part that really stings. He files the claim, and the first question back is, "What does your rental agreement say about parties and occupancy?" His agreement doesn't really say anything. He had a cleaning fee. He did not have a system. Because a cleaning fee covers sand on the floor and a candle that lost a fight with a curtain. It was never going to cover a bouncer. So here's the system. 4 checks, and you already have the first one. 1. Screen the message, not just the stars. You're looking for stacked mismatches. A last-minute 1 or 2-night stay. A vague reason for the trip. A brand new account. Any one alone is nothing. 2 or 3 together is a conversation. Ask what brings them and how many. And set a minimum night rule that quietly prices out the one-night blowout. 2. Lock occupancy in writing. Put a real maximum occupancy limit in the listing and the agreement, and make them confirm the actual headcount before check-in. 2 guests for a house that sleeps 8 has to answer for itself. 3. Hear the yard. Put a privacy-safe noise monitor outside and disclose it in your house rules. Not a camera. Never an indoor camera. A decibel sensor that measures how loud it gets, not what anyone says, and texts you when the yard crosses the line. That turns "Is this your rental?" at 11 into a quiet alert at 9, when one phone call can still end it. 4. Sign the clause. 1 line in the rental agreement. No parties. A stated maximum occupancy, and a breach is grounds to end the stay. Sign before they get the door code. That gives you a much cleaner basis to act and a far stronger position when the damage claim starts. Next time on the cleaning fee, the 5-star guest who left the place spotless and still cost the host $4,000. You'd never see it coming. That's exactly why we'll walk it back. If tonight saved you one bad weekend, do the one thing that helps keep this from landing on you. Follow the cleaning fee. A couple of new ones a week, each one short, about 5 minutes, one disaster, walk back to the checks that stop it. This was the cleaning fee. Screen the mismatch, cap the count, hear the yard, sign the clause. That's the fee that actually pays for itself. I'll see you at the next turnover.